Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My friends in Christ, confessional Lutherans are to be guided by the Word of God. But you also look to the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, to be the true and genuine exposition of God's Word. That's how you are identified as confessional Lutherans, because those confessions shape your confession of faith based upon the Word of God. To go against your confession of faith is to be at risk. For example, to go against the confession of who God is and to say that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are something else, something of what you want Him to be, or to be something that anything outside of God's Word says that He is, that is to be at risk. And it will only bring you to be unsure of your confession. Like being made of sand while a rainstorm comes closing in, it's only a matter of time before things start to deteriorate. There are a couple of books within the Book of Concord that speak quite thoroughly on prayer. Luther's Large Catechism and Small Catechism cover the understanding of the prayer that our Lord gave to His apostles upon their asking Him to teach them to pray, the Lord's Prayer. One of the unique things that Luther expounds is the fact that even though we know that God is God, that He can do all things without our prayer, without our having to ask Him, Luther goes on to write, "But we pray." And that's a quote from the books that you believe, teach, and confess to be the true and genuine exposition of God's Word. Prayer is a part of the Christian life. That's just how it is. It's like good works. Where faith is, good works necessarily happen. So where faith is, prayer necessarily happens as well. Praying is part of your confession of faith. It's what you believe, teach, and confess. So, in self-examination, or my examination of you, how's your prayer life? Do you roll your eyes or sigh at prayer, just like a long hymn, because you've got better things to be doing than exercising or confessing your faith? How are the daily devotions of God's Word going, from which the life of prayer stems? What is it that's choking out the Word of God in your life? What is it that occupies your minds instead of God's Word? Now, let's be clear, it's not a matter of how much you do or how devoted you are that gains you entrance into the heavenly realms. Christ crucified for you has fully earned your salvation. And God created repentance and belief in His merits alone are how you are justified and given the kingdom. But to cut oneself off from the source of God's truth that brings His merits is to be quite at risk. Self-evaluation is not meant for you to improve your life. The law will never give you the strength to do the law. Through self-examination, you are meant to be driven to the source of your only strength, your only peace, temptation is going to reveal failure. New vehicles, the latest iPads or iPods or iWhatevers, curvy bodies, big muscles, earning more of the almighty dollar, because that's what will solve everything. Sports, your enemies, your plans, or your problems, celebrity gossip, community gossip, churchly gossip, your reputation. The Word of God is choked out by the cares and concerns of your flesh and this fallen world. And the devil is always around you to lead your inclined flesh astray. You sow and tend thorns. You think you know enough of God's Word. So you say, like the apostles in today's text, "Well, now that we know that you are the Christ, we have no need to ask you anything any longer. We have no need to pray." Be repenting and believing. God is in control, and He can do all things without your prayer. But you pray. Why? Because it's all gift from God. Just like faith. Prayer is a part of Christian life. That's just how it is. Like good works, where faith is, good works necessarily happen. So where faith is, prayer necessarily happens as well. Praying is part of your confession of faith. It's what you believe, teach, and confess. God's Word gifts to you His truth. You're commanded to pray. God promises to hear your prayers. He even gives you the words to pray through the Lord's Prayer, as well as His words through the Psalms. Friends, you pray because God's Word opens your eyes to your sin. Sin that always brings you to be a people with many needs. Needs of your own and the needs of your neighbors. Their needs become your needs. Why? Because of the love generated through God-given faith. God's Word reveals that you love because you first have been loved. That love is the love of Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. The only way that you pray for yourselves and your neighbors rightly is because you pray in faith. Faith which is being kept on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that happens through God's Word and sacrament ministry. Do not pray for others. Do not desire to share in their needs or burdens is to not love them. Do not love them simply in your state. It's to be at risk. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Word and sacraments, which bring us to stay fixed upon Jesus' finished work for us. In your mercy, bring us to cry out to you in our needs and to care for the needs of our neighbor. Keep opening our eyes to your Word and our actions thereof. Let us not be at risk. Friends in Christ Jesus, the Word of God will break you and free you of thinking that you know it all, that you've got it all figured out, and that there is no reason to ask the Lord anything anymore. God's ways ways are not your ways. But what his word reveals is that his ways are always good. And his idea of good isn't always your idea of good. That is where the flesh and the spirit are at odds. Remember, it's your will that is to be bent to his, not the other way around. That is why the Lord has taught you to always add to your prayers, "Thy will be done." Your fallen flesh, you fail at the command to pray as you ought. But God brings you to pray. In your fallen flesh, you doubt that God hears your prayers or will answer them. But God brings you to pray. In your fallen flesh, you don't read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the Word of God, hindering God from giving you His Word to pray the way that you should. But God brings you to pray. God's will is done, and it frustrates the flesh. And in the midst of your frustrated flesh, you see things working out and going good for others, even unbelievers. But God brings you to pray. You don't care about your confession of faith, and thus you don't really care about yourselves, nor your neighbor, nor the future generations to come. But God brings you to pray. There are many things that will happen in this fallen, sin-filled world that will frustrate you to no end. But God has given you the way out from under it. He has sent. He has given. He has gifted you with His Son. He has made Him to be the snake on the pole, lifted up high as the rescue for all people to behold. Can you imagine the confusion of the people being bitten by the serpents in the wilderness? They know they deserve the curse, but they are told to stare at the very thing that is killing them. And in so doing, they will live. Can you imagine them in their human reason, in their prideful, presumed righteousness, saying, "Well, that just doesn't make any sense, that I am to gaze at your way of rescuing me? To look at your way is offensive. It doesn't meet the needs that I think I need, so I'm not going to do it." It can be compared, as it is supposed to be compared, to all of mankind being told to stare at a gruesome, bloody, crucified man, and being told that it is good, and that it is the way to eternal life, that the very thing that is killing them hangs before their eyes. For Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin to save those dying from sin. But through that act, on His behalf, on His doing, He bestows life as He is lifted up for all to believe, not trusting in their sight, but instead being brought to fear, love, and trust in God's word of promise attached to it. And that can be compared, as it is supposed to be compared, to another lifting up for all to believe while seeing with eyes of faith, another lifting up for mankind to stare at and know through that which they are looking upon, sin has been conquered. You to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.